thank you for taking the time to listen to this life-changing message from the Ministry of Faith Bible Chapel. We hope this message will encourage you in all parts of your life. At the end of this message, you will hear more information on how to contact our church family, as well as directions for you to visit us for any of our worship services. Until then, join us for the service in progress.
About 12 years ago, I was at dinner on a Saturday night with Ruben and Susan Mendez, and they had a prophet from England. And about that time, I was having some brain issues. My wife says I still have them. But God did heal me to a great degree, and something just wasn't happening up there that needed to be happening. And so we're out to dinner on a Saturday night with this prophet. I'd never met him. He didn't know anything about me. And I was, because of the issues, thinking of, oh no, how long will I be in ministry? And, you know, is this going to happen? Is that going to happen? So we're out to dinner, and that prophet turns to me and says, I've got a word for you. Do you want it? And I said, sure. I've got a word for you tonight. I'm sure you want it. And I believe it's something God has dealt with me about through experiences over the years. But I want to talk about the prosperous soul, and I want us to go to John, the third John, in verses 1 to 8. And so many times we capitalize on, beloved, I pray that you may prosper and be in health, you know, and that seems to be a mantra, and people seem to stop there. But this is a prayer with a promise, with a purpose. And we dare not stop on just, well, yeah, I want to prosper in all things. Who doesn't? Amen? God wants us to. That's His heart. He's not a poverty God. He's a prosperous God. Amen. And He'll prosper you as much as you allow Him to and desire Him to. So let's look at 3 John. And John is writing to the elder, greeting to Gaius. He said, to the beloved Gaius, whom I love in truth. Beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health, just as your soul prospers. For I rejoiced greatly when brethren came and testified of the truth that is in you, just as you walk in the truth. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. Beloved, the second time, he's very affectionate with Gaius, probably his convert, dear friend. Beloved, you do faithfully whatever you do for the brethren and for strangers who have borne witness of your love before the church. If you send them forward on their journey in a manner worthy of God, everything ought to be done worthy of God. Not a man, not of ourselves. We ought to live in the duty of doing things worthy of God. So he says, if you send them on their journey in a manner worthy of God, that is, just as God would send them, you will do well, because they went forth for his name's sake, taking nothing from the Gentiles. We therefore ought to receive such that we may become fellow workers for the truth. Father, I pray in the minutes ahead that your Holy Spirit teacher would teach us these precious truths. Lord, I pray that the words of my mouth, the meditation of my heart, has been and will be acceptable to you. I pray for clarity of thought, precision of speech. God, that we could honor you tonight and stand here worthy of the holy calling. Bless these people, O God, with these truths. In Jesus' name, amen. This is a prayer with a promise, with a purpose, and this is God's ideal for our lives and for ministry. Beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things. Everybody say, in all things. Doesn't mean just one area, but it means every area imaginable that pertains to you. In all things, and be in health as your soul prospers. your personal life, your family life, your church life, your walk with Him. Your finances should prosper. Your careers. Problem solving should prosper as we solve problems. The ultimate of success is John's desire for Gaius and for all the believers. And so he says that I pray that you may prosper and be in health as your soul prospers. And he said, I pray or desire, that's the prayer. And the promise is that you will prosper in all things as your soul prospers. And there's a purpose for this. It's just not to have wealth and cars and Cadillacs. Give me continence. Amen? Amen. It's just not to be in a certain level, economic level, but this is a good friend of John's, and he speaks of his testimony and integrity of service in the ministry. So Gaius wants him to continue to be healthy so that he can continue to do the ministry. That's what it's for. All wealth is for establishing the kingdom of God in the world. It's not for me to keep, but it's for me to give away. Amen. And it's for you to give away. So if you got a lot of it, give it away and help somebody. Amen. So the prayer with a promise, and it's for a purpose to do the things here on earth. And so when traveling strangers and ministering evangelists and itinerant evangelists would come to the church, Gaius was the one who was hospitable. He became a host to them, and he would send them on their journey just as the Lord himself would, even if he didn't know them. And so he'd pack them up a lunch and put a couple $100 in their back pocket and send them out so they could do the things of the Lord. So he did it for people he knew, and he did it for strangers also. So this is a prayer with a promise for a purpose, but it's with a condition as your soul prospers in keeping well. Is this too loud? Maybe it's because we're all right here together. Okay. So there's a condition. So I want to talk to you tonight about your soul care. How do you take care of your soul? We take care of everything else, but our souls seem to be the most neglected area of a believer's life. You must have a healthy soul. A healthy soul is one that's full of joy. It's one that's full of peace. It's one that's in that rest. It's one that's happy. Are you happy tonight? Yeah, Bill's happy. Amen. We got one here. I know Ernie's happy, you know. I can see it on his face, you know. If you're happy, let your face show it, you know. So we're to be healthy in our bodies, and we're to be happy in our souls, and we're already holy in our spirits. No matter what we do, we're holy. We're righteous. You know, sin has nothing to do with being righteous. Come on. You're righteous already when you're born again. You know, sin just has to do with our soul and with our flesh. And so the happy soul is where a person's at rest. Very few people today are at rest and in ease. But I want to tell you, I'm at rest and I'm in ease. Amen. No matter what happens, it doesn't really matter, you know. And so it's almost euphoric. David put it this way in Psalm 4:7. He said, you have put gladness in my heart more than in the season when their wine and grain increased. What a truth. They worked hard, they planted, they cultivated, they waited for the bumper crop, then it was harvest time, and then they're singing the song as they're treading the grapes and filling their barns with corn, and they're happy, and that's how it is with us in the spiritual walk, amen? We get born again, we get filled with the Spirit, and we get called to service, and we do the things of the Lord. It increases and increases and gets better and better and better, and there's a euphoric condition to where it's really good to be in God. And it's really good for the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost to be in us. That's very good. Can I have an amen here? And sometimes it gets so good, I can't stand it. The other morning, I was praying through the Psalms, and I'm praying through the Psalms now, and God just began to open up a whole new realm of truth about Him and His character, and I'm sitting in my chair, I thought I wasn't even going to be here tonight, you know. I mean, it's so good, but this verse says, let me state it again, that in order to prosper in all things, everything, then we must be healthy in our soul. We must be good in our emotions. In everything, you know, we're three-part people. The God part is when you're born again and sealed by the Holy Spirit. And the body is our flesh with the five senses, and that's how we communicate maybe all too often with the world, but we respond to the natural world. Then the soul is the place of our emotions and our wills and our minds and our thoughts. And the soul is where we love or hate or get angry, or it's where we feel. You ladies are good at feeling. Us men sometimes are not too good at that, you know. It's where we become jealous or happy or sad, envious. The soul is where we become unforgiving. That's not a spirit thing. That's a soulish thing. It's where we have joy and peace, and where we get upset or we get anxious or we get cast down, or, God forbid, rage. Now, nobody here ever gets in a rage. Or lack of self-control. It's where we have our moods. Anybody here get in a mood? No. Wives, have your husbands been in that mood again? You know, husbands, have your wives been in that mood? You remember years ago, there used to be a mood ring. You remember that? And you put it on, and evidently the ring changed colors as your moods changed, you know. But in our soul, it can be that way where everything can change at the drop of a hat. Our emotions can change and our feelings can change. And if we're not careful, we'll make decisions based on the soul and not the spirit and not the word of God. And that's where we get in trouble. It's not God that causes all these things. A lot of times it's ourselves. So the battle is not just in the mind. The battle is also in the soul, in the soulish realm. And God made us that way. If you want to see emotions of the soul, read the Psalms. The Psalms are the language of the soul. And David expresses every kind of emotion that you will ever have on planet Earth. And so if you want to wonder why you did this or why you felt this way or whatever, read the Psalms, and then the explanation is there. But our soul must be healthy for spiritual growth. If we're going to prosper in all things, it's as our soul prospers. And so our soul must prosper. And so we minister out of strength, we minister out of the Word, we minister out of the Spirit. It's easy to minister out of that worship that we just have. Amen? You know, I'm sitting there thinking David just ought to go on and on, then he could preach a while and we'd all go home, you know? I mean, it was so good. But as leaders and believers, we transfer to others what we have. If you have a cold, you can transfer a cold to somebody else. If you have a disease, you can transfer it to somebody else. And so as leaders and believers, we want to transfer health and wholeness and not sickness of our soul. And so we need to spend time. Somebody said you need to spend 50% of your time just keeping yourself in order. Well, that seems like a lot, but the more I think about that through the years, that may be the case. It may be a little more truth than that, and I won't admit, you know. But what you are and what you have, you pass on to others. Brokenness, There's a lot of broken souls. We live in a day of broken hearts, broken souls, broken lives. People are broken. They're hurting. They're in pain everywhere. And so what more for us to move with the compassion of Christ? And the things we say, our attitudes, good or negative, we transfer feelings and emotions and those kind of things to other people. Paul said, I do not only commend the gospel, I don't only give the gospel to you, but I give you my very soul. He's saying, I give you my very life. He's saying, here I am. Everything I have is your spirit, soul, and body. I release it to you. And that's what we're to release to humanity. A good health and a prosperous soul and those things. So the sick soul, when a soul is sick, it can keep us from our full potential. If there's anger in your soul all the time, if there's revenge in your soul, if there's clutter in your soul, you got to get the clutter out of your soul. It's so easy to get our minds cluttered. Amen? It's so easy to get our feelings and emotions cluttered. And we live in a fallen world with the unredeemed flesh and devils and demons. They're everywhere. How many of y'all know that? You know, if you had a visit, you don't want one, and you have a real visit, you wish you never had one again. But we live in a fallen world. People do bad things. How many of y'all know that? People just do bad things. Why, even Christian brothers and sisters do bad things. Amen. Family can betray you. Friends, children, divorce, all kinds of things. They can break our heart. And Proverbs says, "A broken spirit, who can bear?" You know, when you have a broken spirit, that's probably one of the most damaging things in the Christian life, is to have a broken spirit that you can't fix. Now, I remember very vividly years ago in Athens, Texas, I was sitting on my desk, and how many have ever had something happen to you that you thought never would happen to you? Anybody here? Oh, good, you know? And so I'm there being a good pastor, and I'm working 18 hours a day, and I didn't know how to take care of my soul, truthfully. Paid a price for it. And I'm thinking, well, you know, I've been a pastor here all these years, and things are going good, and we were in the midst of literally living in the book of Acts for 10 years, literally. It was phenomenal. So I'm sitting at my desk, and, you know, I'm feeling pretty good, you know, and all of a sudden, two of my leaders walk in my office, and one was my worship leader, and the other was one of my head elders, deacons, or whatever we called them. And they threw some papers down on the desk, and they said, things are changing around here. We don't like what you're doing, and we're going to change it, and we want you to answer us right now. And I thought, the thing that I always feared just came upon me. And I thought, ooh, I got a problem. This is issue. And so I said, well, brothers, I'm going to take this and pray about it and fast a few days, and then I'll get back to you. My worship leader, about that time, started coming over the desk at me. And Big John, who is bigger than him, John O'Gailey, well, he's not here. Anyway, John grabbed him and said, Tom, settle down. But I went away, and I got the word of the Lord, and I came back, and I didn't fire them, but I just released both of them from their positions in the family. Well, that was 2 o'clock on a Sunday afternoon, small town of 14,000. By 6 o'clock Sunday service, everybody in town knew what went on at New Life Church, and the fight was on. Oh, it was not good. You know, the bad thing was is that and my brother since then has called me and repented and made things right, and I've been with his home and broke bread with him, you know, which is a miracle. After 10 years, he did that. But anyway, The bad thing was is that my house was here on the corner, and his house was two houses down. And on Monday morning, after all of this happened on Sunday, there was 38 cars at his house. And for a full year, daily depression was my enemy. I was depressed. I dreaded Sundays. Oh, no. But you know, it's amazing that I had just enough anointing to get up and preach. And for a year, I lived in this depression. I lived in it. I didn't know how to deal with it, didn't know how to get rid of it. And it was my daily companion. And one Sunday morning, about a year later, and the story of everything that happened and all of that was just, it was just not good. And it was a hurtful thing. I was hurt. Church was hurt. People were hurt. And so one Sunday morning before I was getting ready to go into the pulpit, I was crying out to the Lord, and I says, why do I have to put up with this? When is this going to go? Why do I have to put up with this? And the Holy Spirit said, who said you did? What? I didn't say you had to put up with this. This is your own doing. I said, really? Oh, boy, I walked through the door out in the sanctuary and up to the pulpit, and I declared to the congregation, now this has happened a year ago. I'm tired of hearing about it. I'm tired of sleeping with it, eating it, living with it. I don't want to hear another word. I don't want anybody to say one word to me. This matter is closed. I did what was right in the sight of God, and this is over. And from that day on, I had my freedom and liberty, and the depression was gone. But I know what it's like to live in a realm, in a world of depression. And there's traumas in life. A mate dies. Finance is ruined. And we get blindsided. And there's personal issues, successes and failures and pride and ego. And we all can get offended, and we all get broken. And these are the matters that can make us sick. These are the matters that can live in our soul. And if we allow them to live in our soul, then we're not going to be much good to others. And so there was a lot of sick souls in the Bible. Matthew 3:3, we won't turn there, but Rachel was the comfortless soul, and it was in response to Herod killing all of the babies 2 years old and under. Those soldiers come through on those horses in the dark of night and rip those babies off the breasts of mother and put dagger swords through their bodies and kill them. And it says there was a voice heard in Ramallah, the voice of a lamentation, great mourning, Rachel weeping for her children because they were no more, refusing to be comforted. The pain was so brutal and the pain was so intense, nothing could comfort her. You know, sometimes that happens to people. They can't be comforted. Then John the Baptist was the confused soul. You know, he grew up with Jesus. He introduces Jesus to the world as the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world, as the Holy Spirit baptizer. He's at the place when Jesus was baptized, and the Father said, "This is my beloved Son." I mean, if anybody knew Jesus, it was John. Now John's in prison. He's all alone. And Jesus and his disciples are out there operating in the kingdom realities, and John is tucked away in a prison cell, not knowing he's going to be killed, and probably thinking, what's going on here? Well, what's this all about? And then when the disciples come to them, he says to them, are you the coming one, or should I look for another? Go and ask Jesus, are you the coming one, or should I look for another? And John's confused. He's the confused soul. I mean, when you're put in prison, number one, you're demoralized right away. And here's John, and he's not sure, you know. Maybe they say that about us. Are you the real thing, or should I look for somebody else? John is the confused soul. Hannah was the bitter soul. In 1 Samuel 1, she was in bitterness of soul because she didn't have any children. She was barren, and she was weeping in anger and misery, and she had a sorrowful spirit because the Lord had closed her womb. And maybe there's somebody here tonight who you've got that kind of a sorrowful, grieving spirit because maybe it didn't work out like you prayed or you planned or you asked God to do. Maybe you're wondering why me and why here, and God, how can this happen? Either how can you allow this to happen or whatever, you know? And a sorrowful, grieving spirit is a hard thing. The Lord had closed her womb, and she was bitter, and she was being tortured and tormented every day. So she had a bitter soul. Then David was the downcast soul. Psalms 42, he says, O thou my soul, why art thou disquieted within me? O my soul, why art thou dis... And we see David, who is downcast, and it means to be bowed over or bent over in distress, in grief, in deep groaning, and mumbling to himself, no peace, no joy, no happiness. He's a restless soul. He's in a mourning posture. In fact, he's thinking, I don't even have room to breathe. He's downcast. We were in the Philippines recently, and on the third floor, as we were going to our rooms, the team was coming up, and there on the floor was this great big creature. It was huge, and it was over on its back. And his little feet were just flailing, and it was just trying to turn over, but it couldn't get over, you know, and everybody's standing there looking at it. And that's the downcast soul. You're on your back, and you can't do anything about it unless somebody comes along and helps you. And the next day, as we came back out again, he's still there. And so I went over and just turned them over, you know, so the poor guy could go somewhere, you know. But David was downcast. He was like a sheep whose wool gets saturated with dirt and mud, and it turns over and falls over, and it's on his feet. And unless the shepherd comes and puts it back on his feet, he can't get well again. You know, the downcast soul, full of heaviness. And David said, why art thou disquieted within me? Why, soul, why are you so despondent and so sunk in misery and so depressed and so discouraged and so upset? He's so overwhelmed. And if our soul is not healthy, and if our soul is not well, then we're going to make the wrong choices. We're going to go to the wrong places. We're going to do the wrong things, and really get in great difficulty. And so as long as the soul is sick, it cannot prosper. Then David was the sin-sick soul. Psalm 51, you know, he's talking about God removing his sin from him. And he said, my sin is ever before me. It never leaves my mind. It confronts me continually. Sin will make your soul sick. So stay away from it. Isn't that good? That's good preaching. You know, sin little and sin less. As we grow in the faith and the spirit, that's the way it ought to be. Sin little and sin less. We'll never be sinless, but we can sin less. It's up to us. See, sin will not destroy your spirit man, but it'll destroy your soulish man. And it'll destroy your flesh. Can't touch the spirit man. Thank God. Y'all agree with that, or do you think this is strange doctrine or something? It's just the word, you know. I mean, that spirit man is set in there, and it's righteous, and it's perfect, and positionally you're fine, and, you know, practically you got to work through some things, and then one day it's all going to be perfected, you know. So, you know, this is why this man in Ohio that had these three girls for all these years and everything, and he gets in prison, and you know, it's my opinion that, you know, the sickness of the sin finally got his soul, and he got caught, and suicide was the only workable thing for him because of the sickness of the sin. Jesus had a troubled soul. What? The Son of Man, the Son of God, had a troubled soul? Yeah, he was sorrowful, deeply distressed. We see it in Matthew 26, Mark 14, Luke 22. You know, before he's dying, he falls forward and he's exceedingly unto the point of death, and so much that he sweat drops of blood. He was so close to that. Now, one of the conclusions with David is in 2 Samuel 22, and we won't read that story, but let me tell it to you. David has just slaughtered Goliath, and there's a victory parade, and the women are singing that David, Saul has slain his thousands, and David has slain his tens of thousands. And Saul, right from the minute, began insane with murderous jealousy, and He's gonna get rid of David. I mean, he eyes him and watches him because the Spirit of the Lord left Saul and it was put upon David. And so for David, death is his daily companion. And he's scrambling from cave to cave, eyeballing death in the face at least 10 times. Saul tried to kill him at least 10 times. How would you like to live in that? And he ends up in the cave of Adullam, which by true definition is the cave of debt and distress and discontent and dissatisfaction and depression. That's what Adullam means. It's amazing that here he is, and then 400 wretches and wrecks of society join themselves to him, ones who have no vision and no purpose and no destiny. And David told him, I've got to go here and see what the Lord is going to tell me to do. And he's probably wondering, what am I doing here? I'm the king. I've been anointed. And here I am running for my life, spending more time in darkness than in daylight. What's up with this? Am I really still anointed? And the air of the cave is thick with depression, and all of these misfits are tugging at his robe, wanting something from them. And he was there for quite a while because he turned them all into heroic champions. But there, if he doesn't have enough problems already, then he's got all of these that are tugging, you know, at his robe already, you know. And then the prophet Gad comes to the cave. Now, this is so beautiful. But he's been here quite a while, and the prophet Gad comes to the cave, and here's basically what he says: if come out of the cave, or it will become your grave. If your soul is in a cave of bitterness, of sorrow, of confusion, of trouble, whatever. If your soul is in a cave, I say tonight, come out of the cave before it becomes your grave. Now, you notice when you read in 2 Samuel, I think it's chapter 5, is the where that whole story is that it says David came to the cave, and then when you read down in verses 4 and 6, I believe it is, it doesn't call it a cave, it calls it a stronghold. He's in the hold. He's in the stronghold. And you see, a sick soul can develop a stronghold in your soulish man to where if you don't come out of that, it'll become a grave and it'll destroy you. And so I say tonight, come out of your cave. before it becomes your grave. Well, how do you do that? Well, I'm glad the word just doesn't leave us there. Some of you are looking at me and I see you a little depressed and you thought this is going to be a jumper and a shouter here tonight, but you're never going to prosper unless your soul prospers. And if your soul is sick, you're never going to prosper. Amen. You're not going to be in health in all things. In all things. I don't know about you, but I like being in health in all things. Amen. One man said, I've been rich and I've been poor, and rich is better. Well, you know, whatever you want to do with that scenario, but you know, it's the truth that we can live in prosperity in all things. In all things. And that's minus nothing. That's everything. Everybody say everything. Everything. He's given us everything pertaining to life and godliness. He's blessed us with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places. That's where we are. And we've got to live in that realm so we can be of use to this world that's broken, that lives in all of these different kinds of sick souls. They're out there and they're everywhere. So Gaius, you are Gaius. He writes this letter to us in a sense that, hey, listen, you can. I pray that above all things you be in health and prosper, to do well in everything, to be well in everything, so that as your soul prospers, so that you can do the work of the kingdom. That's what the prosperity is for. I want to stay healthy another 25 years so I can keep going all around the world. Amen. And I've got to be healthy. And I've got to have the wherewithal to do it. And that's in His hand. And He has plenty. God's not broke or stingy. Amen. And to prosper physically and emotionally and spiritually. And so this is the prayer with a promise, with a purpose. So this is God's will for you. It's right here. I desire above all things. So this is God's will that you prosper, and it's God's desire, and to be strong in the Spirit and to be warriors and to position ourselves for that which is to come, and that which is to come is coming. Amen. I mean, any given day, any 5 or 6 triggers can be pulled, and we're living in a whole new world. So we need to be ready. We need to be healthy. Amen. We need to be strong in the Spirit. We need to be in a place where we can release the bounty of God and the things of God to people. Isn't it amazing that the prophet's name was Gad, and that word, his name means God is my fortune. Yeah. So he's coming to David and saying, hey, David, God is my fortune. God wants to be your fortune. Come out of the cave. Amen. And get this fortune. You've been there long enough. We've been around this mountain long enough. It's time for the body of Christ to come out of the cave. Get healthy in every dimension so that we can minister to this world that's before us. And so here comes, you know, here comes the prophet, and he's got a word for David. And so this is God's will. And then David in Psalm 23, as we well know, he restores my soul. Who knew better than David about a broken soul? The horrific, heinous things that David went through because of his sin. I mean, who know better than David? And he says he leads me to green pastures. That's the word of God we were singing about. The word of God that speaks to us. That's how we restore our soul. We restore it in the word of God. Amen. When that word comes and God speaks to us from that word, and the green pastures are that daily bread that we sang about. Amen. He gives us that daily bread and that word. And I don't know about you, but for me, sometimes that's just enough. By that time, I'm on, you know, in that euphoric state. You know, this is so good. This is so wonderful. Thank you, God, the green pastures of the Word. Then the still waters of the Holy Spirit. We sang about it. His Spirit is water to your soul. Oh, glory to God. Oh, boy. I mean, it'll come in and cool down that dry soul in that hot day. I mean, when the Holy Spirit comes in, you cannot live in this end time. You cannot live in this hour unless you've been baptized in the Holy Spirit, operating in the gifts of the Spirit, and living in the Spirit. You cannot do it. You cannot do it. And churches are full of people who have not been ever in that realm of the Spirit, and leaders will be held responsible. You cannot live the victorious life without the baptism and the filling of the Holy Spirit. You can't do it. I don't care what you say, you can't do it. You'll be dry, you'll be cranky, you'll be unhappy. But with the Spirit, it's water to the soul. And you'll be happy in your soul. I mean, you know, boy, I mean, the body of Christ is just missing so much. He restores my soul. He gives new life to my soul. He renews my life. You know, other than God, what turns your crank in your soul? You know, a soul is, we can enjoy nature and a realm of sports and maybe like a coffee shop and a good book and with people. He told Timothy, he gives us all things to enjoy properly, and that ministers to the soul. So you got to treat yourself good. That's right. And often. Everybody say often. You need to do that or you're going to get cranky. And we all know cranky Christians. He revives my soul. He gladdens my heart. He forgives my soul. David gives us the answer in Psalm 42. He says, hope thou in God. He says, oh, my soul, why art thou cast down? Why art thou disquieted within me? Then quickly he says, hope thou in God. You got to tell your soul to hope in God. He says this three times. No matter what life throws at you, he is our hope. He is our peace. There is nothing else. Then he says three times, yet I will praise him. And so you got to praise. What did the prophet Gad tell to David? He said, David, come out of that cave before it becomes your grave. David, come out of that cave and go up to Judah first. Well, we all know that Judah is praise. We all know that Jesus came from the tribe of Judah. He is our praise. He is our good fortune. He's saying, David, hey, I'm good fortune for you. Come out of the cave so you can have some of this good fortune. Amen. Jesus is our good fortune. And so we praise. You know, he restores our soul. I say, get up and go to your fortune. Some of you haven't found your fortune. Amen. There's a fortune in God. Ah, my. And I'm not talking about, I'm just talking about there's a fortune in him. Then David said, I will go to the altar of my God. Isaiah 40, 31, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. And I say, Lord, teach me how to wait on you. Amen. Folks, I'm just getting started. Now, I'm not talking about tonight, but I'm just getting started in what's to come in the years to come, you know. Then another thing David does in Psalm 42 is he remembers his victories. He remembers when God did this. He remembers when God did that. He remembers the goodness of God. Now, I tell you, when I have a temptation to get discouraged now or get depressed, I go to my victory book. You know, they took stones out of the river and made a memorial. And I got a victory book. And this is full of notes and letters of wonderful people through all the years. And I go and I read the letters, the notes, things God did. I save everything I have. I've got 4 books just like this, full. And I can't get too far in here to, okay, I get happy. It's okay. It's all right. my soul, it's okay. Here's just one written in a doctor's handwriting. But he said, I would, and I love this one. I would like to express my love and appreciation for you. But words fail me. I want to recommit myself to following your leadership in fulfilling the vision, New Life Church. Though the vision, Terry, wait for it, it will surely come. He says, Patsy and I pray for you and your family daily and continue to do so. I'm excited about what is ahead for us in the body when you are relieved of some administrative duties and so forth. He says, with much love, Ben, M.D., doctor friend that went on to be with Jesus. And then I got a couple letters in here that are from, my best friend a few years ago, Dave Wurzbach. And it's when we were at the South Church. And I won't read it because it's too long, but he's in heaven now, And on and on. I got 5 books like this. So get you some victory books and start saving them. And as you minister to people, as you love them, and as you do the works of God, these are lifesavers to me. And I haven't gotten through all 5 of them yet because it doesn't take 1 or 2 letters and notes, Blake, and I'm back, it's okay. Let's get ready to go again, David said he gives me songs in the night. He surrounds me with songs of deliverance. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. Isaiah 54:1 says that sing, O barren, you who have not born, you who have not produced, you who have not brought forth, break forth into singing and cry aloud, you who have not labored with child, even though the birthing has not taken place, sing. This is an hour of birthing. God's birthing. God is birthing new dreams and visions and destinies in the hearts of his people. Peter said, cast all your cares upon him because he cares for you. Lean on him. Lean into him. And the last thing, how do you come out of this is he heals the brokenhearted. Luke 4:18, he said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. And he heals the brokenhearted. And you may be here tonight and you've got a broken heart. You may be here tonight and you're an emotional wreck. You may be on the edge of spiritual bankruptcy. You may be sick in your soul. And it's time to come out of the cave and it's time to tug on the robes of the righteous Savior who is your fortune. It's time to let others tug on the robes of your righteousness and receive from God what they can't get for themselves. Amen. It's time to tug on your own robes of righteousness and extract the fortune of God that's in him and his son Jesus and the precious Holy Spirit. And so, you have to come out of your cave before it becomes a grave. Amen. Your spirit may be broken. You may be confused, downcast, troubled, sorrowful, whatever. But the prophet Gad, I think, is speaking a word to us tonight. Come out of the cave. Let's stand together. Now, you come out of the cave in a lot of different ways. We've listed 7 or 8 ways that you can come out of the cave. And some of you, if you have to get your children, you're sure welcome to do that. But you may be here tonight and you just say, I'm in a cave. I got a broken spirit. I'm troubled and I'm confused and I'm sorrowful and I need to come out of my cave. And you can just come forward here and we'll just agree together for God to bring you out of that cave. Sometimes it just takes a touch of the Holy Spirit to break the things. You know, it's the Spirit. The anointing is in the Spirit, and it's the anointing breaks every yoke. And there's power in the Holy Spirit. And He can break any yoke that's here tonight. He can set free any person that's here tonight. He can begin the process of the restoration of your soul because He so desires for you to prosper and be in health as your soul prospers. So if you want to come tonight and just stand up here, then we'll just quickly pray for you. If there's something you need in that way, Father, I just ask now that you minister to every heart, every life, every soul that's here. God, that you do your marvelous, wonderful work, beautiful work by your Holy Spirit. And so, Lord, tug on the heart of that person. Tug on their heart, Lord, and bring them to the good fortune. Place better than where they are right now. So if that's you tonight, some are coming. Just come and stand here. And just line up in straight row and have some brothers and sisters come and assist us and stand behind them. There's no telling what God may want to do here tonight. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Any of the prayer teams that want to come and just stand and lay hands on these. We're just going to pray for them and believe God to do a work here tonight. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Lord, touch my brother Tony. He's hurt. He's pain. God, touch him. Oh, God. Heal every hurt that's in him right now. Oh. Heal the broken heart. Oh, God. Seal it, Lord. Heal it and seal it. In Jesus' name. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Father, go deep. Holy Spirit, do a deep work. Do a good work. Oh, God, you're a good God. Holy Spirit, do a good work here right now, my brother Tony. Oh, God, help his sorrowful spirit and grieving spirit, oh, Lord. Oh, God, I pray you're going to bring him forth as gold coming out of the fire. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Father, meet the need. Yes, Lord, in Jesus' name. Father, just meet this need right now. Heal, Father. Heal a broken heart. He's going to mend it and put it all back together again, my daughter. Amen. He's going to mend it. There's no problem too big or too great for him. Father, right now, begin that mending work in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. He's going to do a new thing. You've been waiting for that. You've said, why? When will it be over? When will it be done? Will there ever be a breakthrough? Will there ever be a better day and another day? That day's coming. Father, I just speak the new things right now into her life. In the name of Jesus, thank you, Lord, for touching her. Jesus' name. Holy Spirit, give peace, give confidence, give assurance. Oh, yes, there it is. There it is. Jesus' name. Yes, Lord. Nothing is too hard for me, says the Lord. Nothing is too hard for me. All things are possible to them who believe. Oh, Lord, just right now, Father, I just thank you that you're a restorer of this man's soul. You're a restorer of a broken heart and a wounded spirit. Oh, Lord Jesus, Holy Spirit, do that work right now. Do it. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Release, Father, your fineness to this, your daughter. Her heart is open. Her mind is open. Her spirit is open. Fill her right now, Lord. Oh, God, I pray. Fill her fresh and new. Let your spirit be water to her soul. Let your bread fill her hunger, oh, Lord. There's a right path, and I am guiding you to that path. The decisions you're going to make will be good, and they'll be right. Father, bring joy. Fill this life full of joy again. Thank you, Lord. Restore her soul, Father. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. It's not all over. It's not useless. This is not the end. There's a better day. Thank you, Father, right now, Lord, for restoring what's been stolen, what the enemy's taken. Oh, God, help his pain. Heal his pain, Lord Jesus. Heal his pain, oh, God. Only you can do that. I ask you to do it, Father. Just heal the pain and bring the victory. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Holy Spirit, do the work right now. Do a complete, final work right now. This enemy you will see no more. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Yes, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Jesus' holy name. Thank you, Father, for your working powers that goes deep where understanding is not there, where confusion is there, where wondering and doubting and why is there. Father, I pray that you replace all of that tonight, right now, by the sovereign work of your Holy Spirit. Transform. Holy Spirit, transform. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Minister to my brother right now, Spirit of God. There it is. There it is. Spirit of God. Yes. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Fresh touch, Holy Spirit. Yes. Don't doubt. Don't doubt at all. Just receive. Thank you, Lord. The mighty name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Father, do your work here right now. Lord, as she has come seeking your heart, seeking your help, seeking the wholeness that you offer for her soul, I pray, oh God, from this moment forward, she's obeyed you. She's come. And now, Lord, I thank you for doing the work within her. Thank you for renewing in her mind. I thank you, Lord Jesus. I thank you, Lord, that which the enemy meant for good, out of it God will bring forth. What the enemy meant for evil, God will bring forth good. Yes, he will. He'll bring forth good. You will be vindicated. You will be vindicated, and everything will be returned, spirit, soul, and body. Father, I just thank you for that, Lord. Thank you for the return. I thank you that you're good, O Lord. Thank you, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Jesus is a healer. He's your healer. He can heal everything that's been broken, everything that's been lost, everything that's been gone. He's your healer. No matter where you are, no matter what you're doing, no matter who you are, Jesus is your healer. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for your touch right now on this dear daughter. Thank you, Lord. He cares. He cares. He cares so much. He cares so much. I just take authority over spirits of deception and rejection in Jesus' name. And I speak liberty and freedom to your being. In the mighty name of Jesus, it will be okay. It's going to be all right. No evil weapon formed against you shall prosper. It shall not continue. It ceases and ends right now in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. The Lord will fight your battles. From this moment forth, He will rise up and be mighty. He will rise up and be awesome on your behalf because He cares for you and He loves you so much. So much. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Minister right now. Where there's doubt, give clarity. Where there's confusion, give clarity. Father, I pray for clarity right now to make the right decisions, do the right things, heal a soul that's lonely. God will remove the loneliness from your soul and you will find peace and rest in Him and in another. God is going to put somebody next to you and in your life who will be a friend, who will walk with you in the difficult times. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Within 1 year, that person will come into your life. Amen. 1 year. I don't know if it's male or female. You just expect, okay? Thank you, Lord. Thank you for healing, for restoration, oh God. Right now, Father, I pray for restoration right now. Pray for a good work right now, a complete work, wholeness, wholeness, spirit, soul, and body. Thank you. Oh, thank you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Amen. It's coming. It's coming. That which you've waited for is coming. You can be assured it is coming and not far off. Within 3 months. Within 3 months, it'll be here. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Oh, thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit.
We hope that this message has spoken something personal to you. If you would like more information about our church family or service times, please call us at 303-424-2121 or visit us at our website, www.fbci.org. Faith Bible Chapel currently meets in our Family Worship Center, located on the corner of 62nd Avenue and Ward Road.